All right. Well, good morning again. So I think we would all agree we have just been so blessed at Fellowship Bible Church. I believe we are a healthy church, a doctrinally sound church. I believe there's a very sweet spirit here. And it's the natural fruit of God's word, right? Of God's word, rightly divided, rightly taught. Jesus said in John 13:35, "By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." And I see this love in action here. You know, how we care for one another, how we care for the unsaved. Your excursion to Salem, Mass, and your witness on the train is just a perfect example of that. But we see it all the time. Look at the prayer requests and the things that we're praying for. It's such a great blessing. I'm so thankful that God has led us here at this time. That being said, we're not perfect, right? We're Adam's children. You know, we've been looking at Genesis, and we have a picture of the profound impact of that sin. And you know, we're born with hearts that are desperately wicked and deceitful above all things, right? On our very best day, we are sinners, and we are desperately, each one of us, in need of a savior. You know, we're rebels, we're hypocrites. We have to constantly be on our guard, lest we forfeit the great blessings that God has given us here. And so with that in mind, there's a potential weakness at FBC. It's something that has really been on my heart. It concerns me. And as a church, we're entering a season of particular vulnerability. What is it? What's going on? Exactly. Yeah, it's obvious, right? We're transitioning to a new pastor. We've had the great blessing of Pastor Terry's teaching for 17 years. Is that what it's been? You know, in New Hampshire reckoning, that means you just got here. You just got here. Why are you leaving so soon? That's about how long it takes us to say hello to the new family next door. You know? But we're bearing fruit here. We're bearing the fruit of Pastor Terry's, his knowledge, his skillful teaching. It's been such a great blessing. But the Lord, in his sovereign will, is calling Pastor Terry to a different ministry, to Florida. And, you know, we have a new man coming in to take over the pulpit at FBC. That man, of course, is Pastor Joshua Stevens. He's back here. And I have nothing but good things to say about Pastor Josh. You know, by all indications, he's a godly man. I think that will pan out as we get to know you more. But well-versed in the scriptures, he comes with extensive training. He's been thoroughly vetted by our elders here at FBC. I've got one concern. Well, two concerns about Pastor Joshua. His first name, it's not Terry. The second concern, his last name is not Rag. Right. So we're hard-headed. We're New Hampshireites, the Granite State, and as you would say, that granite is between our ears for the most part. It's, you know, we're set in our ways. We don't like change. And change puts us out of our comfort zones, right? All of us. Right? Way out of our comfort zones. But God uses change. He uses change to conform us to the image of his son. And change is not only inevitable, but for believers, it is absolutely necessary, right? Well, I don't like it. So there are four simple points I want to make this morning, and we'll be covering really some very familiar ground. And I want to encourage us to be strong in areas where we are already strong, I believe. But I just want to shore up a few things. I want us to be even stronger. It's important that we excel more in these areas. So before we look into God's word, let's pray one more time. Dear Father, you're so gracious to us. Please teach us this morning. Please help us to learn these things as we open up your word. Please help us to obey. Lord, for your glory, and we do come before you in Jesus' name. All right, so the first point's already been made. Let's be on the alert, right? Let's be aware of our vulnerability. Let's not be caught up off guard. Please open your Bibles to 1 Peter 5:8. We're going to be jumping around to a few scriptures this morning. This verse, it gives us really clear instructions on responding to Satan's schemes. And here's what Peter says. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Why? Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. We have an adversary, right? And he's ever on the prowl. He's looking for weakness. He's looking for opportunity. He's close by here, right? We get a similar exhortation in Ephesians 6, 10 through 13, and I'll just read that. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God. Why? So that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Okay, we're beginning, as a church, we're beginning the process of transition. It's a process where many churches unravel. And make no mistake about it, the principalities and powers that war against us are watching. They're probing. They're looking for weakness. They're ready to exploit, right? Let's gird up. Let's be alert. Let's stand firm. The battle is upon us. It truly is. That was point one. Second point. Obedience. I want us to have a proper biblical thinking about submission to our pastors and elders. Could we please turn to Hebrews 13, 17? It's a great, great verse. Very important for us right now. They're all great verses. All right. Obey your leaders and submit to them. Why? For they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief. Why? For this would be unprofitable for you. Right? Church leadership, it is a high, it's a fearful calling. And keeping watch over souls in a fallen world is difficult under the best circumstances. But we live in America, right? We live in America, and we are a country founded in rebellion. We are, right? And the right of free speech, and it really, by implication, the right of critical speech, the right of contrary speech, it's built into our Constitution. It's built into our founding documents as a country, right? We criticize our political leaders as a matter of right and duty. It's what we do. We're in the season of it right now. It cannot be that way in the church. It cannot. It must not be that way in the church. We are commanded in Scripture to obey our leaders, to submit, right? The pastor's position, it's ordained by God, it's defined in Scripture, and submission to pastoral authority is absolutely vital to the proper function of the church. Let's fight against our rebellious nature. Let's fight against our cultural slant towards criticism, our critical spirits, it's ingrained. The church cannot function that way. You know, let's submit. Let's be diligent to submit to our elders that they might lead us with joy. This is profitable for us, right? And that God might be glorified. Let's look at another verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 12 and 13, it gives us another exhortation about our relationship with our pastors and elders. Great, great verse. It's 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 and 13. But we request of you, brethren, that you appreciate those who diligently labor among you and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction, and that you esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Live in peace with one another. Great verse. So not only are we to submit to our leaders at FBC, but we are to appreciate them. Right, and esteem them very highly in love because of their work. This is really practical, folks. This is really practical. This is how we are to relate to our elders, to Pastor Terry, to Pastor Joshua, to Pastor Neil, to Pastor Russ. I think we can run that right into our deacons as well. With appreciation and high esteem and love. How are we doing with that? How are we doing? Anybody have room to grow there? I sure do. All right, third point. Humility. Humility, right? Humility and love, they should be the foundational principles that govern our relationships with one another, and especially with our church leaders. Could we please turn to Philippians chapter 2? It's one of the most important New Testament scriptures on humility. Philippians chapter 2. All right. Therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, and of course, it's implying there are all those things, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfish ambition or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Easy, right? We get Paul goes on and gives us a perfect example of this humility. And let's keep reading 5-8. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's our example. That's our standard, right? The creator of the universe, the one who upholds everything by the power of his word, he descended from the majesties and glories of heaven to a disgraceful, humiliating death on the cross. He did it for us. He did it for us while we were his enemies, sworn enemies. With Christ as our example, can we not regard one another as more important than ourselves, considering what he's done for us? Can we not regard one another as more important than ourselves? And if we do that, will that not put our critical spirits to death? Right? When I think or speak critically, especially towards my church leaders, I am being grossly presumptuous, grossly arrogant. It is the opposite of humility. I'm implying that I know more than them. I'm implying that I'm better qualified to shepherd the flock. Do you understand the implications there? Far worse than that, I'm standing in direct opposition to God and his order, his established order, right? It's a very serious sin. It is an assault on the body of Christ. Do you understand how serious that is? We have to be diligent to regard one another as more important than ourselves. We must be diligent to look out for the interest of others and for the interest of this church body. Right. All right, how's everybody holding out? It's heavy, right? I used to teach Pathfinders, and when I got to the point, I guess the question is, how am I holding out? In Pathfinders, when I got to the point where I thought the kids needed a break or I thought I needed a break, I would have them stand up and stretch and do jumping jacks. And I have a bad ankle. I'll spare you that. Henry, do you think you could lead us in jumping? No, never mind.
Falling.
That might be just the break we need. All right, we have one more point to cover. It's an important one. It's a heavy one as well. The final subject I'd like to address is our tongue, our speech. Okay, it boils down to there. That's where the rubber meets the road. And our words are very powerful, right? They have power for good. They have power for evil. Our words can build up. Our words can tear down. James warns us of the dangers of the tongue in chapter 3 of his epistle. Can we turn to James chapter 3? And I'll start reading in verse 1. Let not many of you become teachers, my brethren, knowing that as such we will incur a stricter judgment. There's a sobering thought. Verse 2, for we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put bits into the horse's mouth so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So also, the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. How much fire does it take to start a forest fire? Spark, right? A spark. Yes, Sherry-Ann.
Also, our fingers on ourselves.
I'm sorry?
Our fingers on
ourselves. Yep. Fingers on ourselves, yep. I was cutting my grass yesterday, and I'm mowing the lawn, and it's a little windy, and there are dry leaves. And I come around a corner, I'm looping back, and there's smoke. There's smoke coming up from my lawn. And I'm like, what's that? There was a leaf on fire. I have no idea. Maybe it got on my exhaust in the lawnmower. Maybe a spark came out. It takes nothing. It takes nothing to start a fire. Run a lawnmower. You can start a forest fire. If I didn't see it, Lord knows where how that would have progressed. I think the Lord knew that I needed an illustration this morning. I thought immediately of this class when that happened. Our words are like that, one spark, right? One small word given the right conditions can burn a forest down. It can burn a church down, right? We've seen it. We've lived through it. Let's beware, a church in transition is dry tinder, right? You understand? Let's continue. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds, of reptiles and creatures of the sea, is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. Do you understand the weight of James' warning here? No one can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil full of deadly poison. Our natural tendency in speech is not neutral. It is anything but neutral. Our natural tendency, speech unrestrained, is a wrecking ball, right? It's like dangerous medicine that you keep under lock and key. If it's administered carefully, thoughtfully, properly, it can help, but it's dangerous and it must be restrained. Proverbs 18:21 tells us, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Do you understand, all of us, right? The person on your right, the person on your left, the person sitting in your seat. We have the power of death and the power of life in our words. It's a really fearful, sobering reality, isn't it? So thankfully, Paul rounds out our understanding with an exhortation of how to use our speech rightly. Can we turn to Ephesians 4:29? Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment. We're in need these moments, right? So that it will give grace to those who hear. I'm going to read that one more time. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Isn't that a great, such a timely exhortation for us, right? How do our words impart grace to those who hear? Well, that our speech, our thinking has to be informed by God's word. Right? It has to be. And that implies, of course, that we must be in God's word to read it, to hear it preached, to meditate on it, and by God's grace to obey it. Those are the four points, and I wanted to make sure I got through them. I'm usually very interactive in this class. I wanted to make sure I got through those points before I opened this up. But now's your chance. We've got a few minutes.
The way I look at the transition of the church here is God is the sovereign God. He's in control of everything. He used Pastor Gary here for the last 17 years. It's been wonderful. I have learned so much through my ups and downs. It's like God continues to teach me every day. But the most important thing I have learned is that And what you are teaching here, right, is that sometimes we're not aware of all these things. Sometimes when we come here, okay, like, what am I going to learn today? You know, like, okay, it's another day. What is God going to reveal to me, right? But then you come here and just rest that God. Every day, at night, go ask him for the sins that he committed in Africa.
No, no, we're not, but he is. Yeah. No, thank you, Jim. Can you come to my house tonight and teach me some more? go ahead. It certainly will rip this place apart. We've lived through it. Right. Yep. Nick.
I wasn't putting my trust in the Lord, which I confess to them in prayer. It's God's will. And if I don't like that, then I'm not trusting God for what he's doing. Mm. So I worry about that and looking for scripture to affirm.
It's, you know, the Lord has a will for our lives, right? And for our church. And his will is to lead Pastor Terry to another ministry. And that's difficult, right? It's difficult for us. It's change. We love Pastor Terry. We've become accustomed to Pastor Terry. We understand how he teaches. We understand how he leads. And we love that. God has something different in mind for us. And we've got a new man who will be in our pulpit, and he's got different strengths and weaknesses, right? And but God ordains all these things. It's for our good. It's for his glory. And let's get on board. Let's not be resistant or angry or bitter or disappointed or any of those things. I so much look forward to what the Lord is doing, how he's going to work here, how he's going to work in Florida, the ministry. I hope you keep us updated. I hope you have a letter that you put out or something just so we can keep tabs, because it's exciting. It's exciting to think what the Lord is doing. What's that? Yes. Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure you'll be keeping tabs. Derek. You know, there are things at Fellowship Bible Church that are not going to change, right? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ does not change. God's Word, it does not change, right?
It was based on one man.
Right, right. As Pastor Terry said the other day, if you're coming here because of me, it's time for me to leave. Comments? Yes, Bo.
This is a situation. I'm curious. If there's a transition and people in the body have concerns, is there a way for that to be brought forth that's not inconsistent with our
goals? Sure. The command to submit to our pastors, it presupposes that they are rightly dividing and teaching the word of God and that they're following it. You know, if our pastors, Lord forbid this should ever happen, But if our pastors are leading us into sin or doctrinal error, then we follow God and not men, right? We've gone through a thorough vetting process here to ensure as much as we are able to that that won't happen. We've got a plurality of elders here to make sure that they hold one another accountable and hold one another to the word of God. That being said, if there's something of concern, we have Matthew 18, you know, how we address offenses in the body. And what's that? And what is that? Okay. Oh, no, that's okay. Any other comments in the meantime? I'm sure we can come up with some.
So, in verse 17, the elders who lead well are to be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who labor, preaching the word of keeping. The scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he's threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not receive an accusation against an elder if it's on the basis of two or three witnesses. There's accountability there.
Yep, right. There is accountability, yes. By God's grace.
By God's grace, and we should be praying for that.
Right.
And God gives us an illustration of that reason why we should be praying for that. More realistically, we might decide that, or not decide, we might be concerned that, Josh would decide.
You know, Pastor Terry has always encouraged us in sharpening your sword. If you see something, doctrinal error, tell me. Tell me, and we'll both be enlightened, you know. But Pastor Terry was always very open about that. The great Apostle Paul, he commended the Bereans, right, for checking Scripture to make sure his teaching was consistent with Scripture. There's nothing wrong with that, right? We have liberty for that. If we find there are concerns, we can address them. We can address them through the other elders. We can address them directly to the elder that we're concerned about. But we do so with utmost respect, in fear and trembling. We don't talk behind their back. You know, we go directly to the source, and as Matthew 18 tells us, you go to the source, right? Please.
Whether it be wearing a tired eye or whether it be some doctrine.
And I can tell you. So we're getting close to the end here. There's just a couple of things. You know, Pastor Joshua, this responsibility is new, right? And Jessica, his dear wife, has never been a pastor's wife. And his kids have never been pastor's kids. And they will need much grace and much help and much understanding as they grow in this new role. And God has been so gracious to us. Let's extend that grace to them, right? We've had a great blessing of Pastor Terry's teaching. Joshua comes to us with different strengths and with different style, and that's going to take some adjustment, right? But it's great news. That's how God works, through a diversity of gifts. It would be grossly unfair to Joshua if we expected him to be just like Pastor Terry. Let's not do that. He comes to us with different gifts, and God has determined that those gifts are the gifts we need before us at this time. Right? And just, we're out of time, just a couple of closing remarks. You know, we're on notice, right? If we weren't already, we are now. We're in a perilous time for a church, and we have to be sober and alert, right? Let's be purposeful and diligent to submit to our pastors and elders, the authority that God has placed over us. Let's treat our leaders with humility, with tender love, that this transition might occur with order and blessing, and that the Lord God might be glorified in this church body. Right? Let's be very careful with our words. Our words are so powerful. Let's speak that which is good for building up. Let's avoid words that tear down. Let our words be according to God's word, right? That they might impart grace to those who hear us. And let's welcome Joshua with great appreciation and hold him in high esteem. Let us extend much grace to Josh and his family as they grow in this new calling. Very important, let's be diligent to pray, right? To keep FBC before the throne of grace as we travel through this transition. It's a dangerous time. And let's look with hopeful anticipation to what God has in mind for FBC. I'm really excited for what he's doing. He's working here. It's really exciting. No. He's saying it anyway. Right. Could you please close us in prayer?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you've given us. Thank you so much, Lord, that you gave me the strength to be able to get up this morning and have the energy to attend this class. I love what Al has taught us today, Lord. Just keep us in your protection, help us, Lord, to be focused on you. Lord, help us to go to you every day, Lord.
Thank you.